Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, where we meet the joys and challenges of our sensitivity with open minds and hearts to awaken our best highly sensitive selves. In this episode, we're speaking once again with the phenomenal Cindy Beers. Cindy is a yoga teacher with over 7,000 hours of teaching and training spanning 10 years. She tailors the yoga experience to meet her students where they are, and she meets them with compassion and always a touch of laughter, leaving them feeling content and at peace. And now she's gathered fellow teachers who share this philosophy all into one place through the platform of mentalhealthyogaandwellness.com. This platform is endorsed by the American Mental Wellness Association, and it was created with the intention to support students in the areas of mindfulness, human potential, and consciousness. Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about a project that you're working on, which is a new platform for yoga and mental health and wellness. Can you tell us just what this sparked this idea for you and how did it come about?
And that's a good question. Well, first of all, for the audience, the website name is mentalhealthyogaandwellness.com. So make sure you have that in there. What drew me to this? Well, my passion is very much working with mental health. And as being a yoga teacher, I try to apply what I've learned as a yoga teacher to anxiety, depression, trauma, and stress, because as a PTSD survivor and someone that has anxiety, it's very important for me to share everything with others. So with that said, and doing a lot of teacher trainings and working with a lot of other yoga teachers, I noticed that there was definitely a need out there now more than ever to work with people on a bigger scale, not just in my home studio working with my amazing community, but the world. And so when I put out the feelers out there, would this be a great thing to do? The answers I got were yes, yes, yes. And so I was constantly drawn to do this, and I don't know how and why I'm doing it, but I just feel like it's so necessary. So I have the greatest teachers, the greatest psychologists, social workers, counselors in my side making this work.
And we're all so excited and proud and honored to be a part of it as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And what I'm finding is everybody that is a part of this also has some sort of mental health problem, like whether it's anxiety, depression, trauma, or stress. They have an issue, and they've found the ways that help them. And you know, it's all about sharing the knowledge. If we could share the knowledge to everybody to help them, that's what matters.
And I feel like, too, and I think you'll probably agree with me, that in order to help other people, you really have to have walked the path yourself.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, it's so easy to be a sideline coach to tell people how to feel and how to fix themselves. But if you haven't experienced it yourself, it's a totally different ballgame, because you don't know how that person feels.
I totally agree. Cindy, how would you define mental wellness? And is there a difference between mental wellness and mental health, mental illness, all of these words that we have kind of swirling around? And can you clarify the ideas behind each one of these terms for us just briefly?
And that is a really good question, because there are so many terms that are being thrown out there. So let's start with the simple mental illness. Mental illness can be anything from anxiety, depression, trauma, stress, to complex trauma, schizophrenia, dissociative identity disorder. It's anything that has to do with the brain. Okay. So when we look at mental illness issues, this is what, you know, they're talking with. So if like, for example, my teacher trainings are called Yoga for Mental Health, you know, we could call it Yoga for Mental Illness because we're working for anxiety, depression, trauma, and stress. When we talk about mental health, we're working with making our brains healthy, making our brains better. We're working with that. Same with mental wellness, is keeping that brain healthy, making that brain healthy, so you can move forward. And we also look at the term mental wellness in continuing to have good mental health. So there can be some overlap, there can be some differences, but in layman's terms, mental illness is when there's issues with the brain. Mental health is working to make the brain better. Mental wellness is keeping the brain healthy.
And how does yoga help our mental health? We hear all the time, you know, yoga is so good for you. Go to a yoga class. But how does yoga help our mental health? In what way?
That's really a fabulous question, because so many people are like, well, why can't I just go to the gym? Well, that's a good question. You can go to the gym and you can feel better. However, with yoga, one of the biggest things that it works with is the parasympathetic nervous system, or I should say the autonomic nervous system. Because when you have anxiety, depression, trauma, and stress, your sympathetic nervous system is constantly on guard, constantly up. So it's hard for that a lot of times when it's that high to relax. With yoga and breathing, what happens is we start stimulating the parasympathetic, which is your zen, your rest and digest. So what that's doing is bringing that up, lowering that sympathetic nervous system and chilling out. And that way it helps keep it down, keep that sympathetic nervous system down, so you can be more productive and more calm in life. Now, when we go to the gym, do we have that same result? To a point. Yes, we do. You have that to a point for walking. You have that to a point with running. You get it to that point that you can calm it down, but it's only temporary. With yoga, it tends to have a longer lasting effect.
Would you say that practicing on a regular basis is important as well to maintaining that state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I work with a couple that both have anxiety and both have trauma, and one of them also has depression. So this person has the trifecta. They have anxiety, trauma, depression. Fantastic. What I've learned from working with people like this that have more than one, which is very common, what I've learned is, even if they're doing a 1 week practice, that long lasting ability from that one practice can last the entire week. Now, can you incorporate more? Absolutely. I mean, I do yoga 6 days a week, and it's helped my mental wellness so much that, that now I've been doing yoga, oh gosh, since 2000, and I became a teacher in 2005, and I have a regular practice. And what I found was, because of yoga, my flashbacks are minimal. I very, very, very rarely have a flashback now. And I very rarely have any night terrors that come out of it. So is there a lot of benefits? Oh, God, yes. You know, it doesn't matter what type of yoga that you're doing, as long as you're doing one that fits your life.
And so speaking of that, you know, for most of us in the West, yoga is seen as basically a form of exercise.
Yeah.
So how are the classes and offerings on this platform that you're offering, how are they different from other yoga class or classes that listeners might be familiar with? And how may the instructors differ from some of the more mainstream yoga instructors or classes that people might have gone to at their local gym, for example?
Right. So these yoga teachers that are part of this online realm have been trained specifically to work with individuals that have anxiety, that have depression, that have trauma, that have stress. These are people that have the same exact issues as you and I. They have the same problems, the same issues, and they're just like you and I that have gone in and have worked and done yoga and realized the power that it has and have continued to take training in order to get them into that place that's going to make them even a better yoga teacher for the people that they're serving.
And they're able to hold space for that.
Yeah.
All of those
absolutely.
Things that people come into classes with that, you know, somebody might be triggered or something like that. Teachers who have that kind of training are able to help somebody a little bit more with some of the triggers that they might have, as I was saying, or just hold space for them and not
right.
be flustered by it or,
right.
you know.
And that's the important thing. These are individuals that are highly trained to understand your issues, whether it's anxiety, depression, trauma, or stress. If you're having a hard time, they are trained to sit and listen. They won't give you advice, but they will hold space with you. Because
yeah,
are not to give advice. Our job is to help you feel better. And if something is triggering, okay, let's talk about it. Let's find something that's going to work for you as a holistic modality.
Yeah. And there, you know, it's probably important too to mention that, you know, we're not therapists, we're not counselors. And this is, you know, something that's supplemental to other things that you might be using in your life for your mental health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are 100% correct. We're not therapists, even though we do have therapists, counselors, and psychologists on staff that will be doing workshops. We're not counselors. We can listen and we can take the time to sit with you, but we're not counselors.
And on the website, there's a statement that says mental health conditions are physical medical conditions with cognitive and emotional symptoms. Can you explain to us a little bit about what that means?
That's a really good question. So I'm just going to use anxiety as an example.
Sure.
So when we look at anxiety, what happens when we have an anxiety attack? We tend to take one thing and it surmounts to a very large thing within our brain. And my famous example is spilling a glass of water. So we, you know, normally, you know, your everyday person spills a glass of water. It happens. We're sorry. But in an anxiety brain, well, let's look at it. We spill the glass of water. Oh my God, I'll have to get all new glasses because I broke a glass. It's going to ruin the table. Oh, there it goes on the floor. I'm going to have to get a new floor. I just might as well just go crawl in a rock, underneath a rock, and stay there because I ruin everything. That's the anxiety brain. So how does that affect you cognitively? Well, simple. How can you see what's real in front of you? How can you see what's real in front of you when you're having that anxiety attack? You can't. How does that affect you emotionally? Well, you're either shaking, crying, or just can't see the forest through the trees. So what we do is help you stay present. So if you do spill that glass of water, you just say, oh, I'm sorry, I spilled this. Instead of having those thoughts surmounting to something that's going to just take you totally out into left field.
Yeah, I think someone personally who also comes from a trauma background and a traumatic childhood, just saying just something like that, that example where being able to develop a sense of presence and witness mind and not going back to that place of being scolded or reprimanded and all of that, and just being in the here and now, I think that's huge. And practicing yoga gives us that, kind of slows us down, I think, slows us down and lets us observe what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. 100%. You're right.
What would you say to someone who's listening who thinks that this type of yoga probably isn't for them? That everything in their life is going on fine. And, you know, once in a while I have a panic attack or something or anxiety, or I get stressed out, but, you know, mental wellness, that doesn't really sound like it's for me.
And that's okay. You know, one of the things that I and the other teachers have realized is we can't force people to take a class with us. People have to find what works for them. If they look at this website and say, this isn't for me, that's okay. Maybe they have other things in place that work for them. But knowing that it's there, just in case they need it, that's good.
Yeah, or even just want to try it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And see if it's for them instead of just dismissing it offhand.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just think that sometimes, you know, you put the terminology in there, anything to do with mental, you know, there's still a lot of stigma with that. And, you know, it can scare a lot of people off who might benefit from just trying out being in that space.
Right.
What do you wish everybody understood about mental health?
That it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to come out and say, I have anxiety. It's okay to come out and say, I have dissociative identity disorder. It's okay to come out and say, I have a problem. When I was growing up, as many other people in my age range, you never talked about it. You never, ever, ever talked about it. Not even at home, not even with your spouse, nothing. You hid it. You dug it deep down into the ground to make sure nobody knew about it. And that's the way it was in the military too. You just never, ever talked about these things at all. So what's important now is that we do acknowledge that we have a problem. We do acknowledge that I have anxiety and I need help. It's okay. Whether you announce that on social media to find some help, or if you start calling someone, they're coming out with a new, I want to say it's 811 line that is going to be launching in 2022 for people that have a need right now. And it's the important thing for us in what we're doing, Tanya, is getting the word out, realizing, you know, saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, and yes, I have anxiety. Just like people that go to AA, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. What's wrong with saying, hi, my name's Cindy, and I have PTSD? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it.
And there's so much shame you know, historically, and it's built into our society. It's built into our culture that there's so much shame around mental health and being able to admit it. And we're slowly coming out of that.
Right.
Very, very right. slowly, but.
Yeah. And we're lucky that we live in the country that we do because of it. You know, it's starting to come out. Yes, there's still some shame, but we're moving past that. I mean, I really, the folks that are the professionals that are out there in sports right now that really have said, okay, I need to step back because of my anxiety or step back because of my depression. Kudos to them. Because so often in life, we keep going and going and going, and our depression and our trauma is getting the best of us. But we dig it down deep so we can get past it. And a lot of times we don't, and it makes it worse. And as Bessel van der Kolk says, you know, the issues in our tissues, you know, if we keep digging it down, it's going to come out in our body. Because the body keeps score, you know, it'll come out in some way, shape, or form in our body. And we'll wonder why these things are happening. Why do I have a heart issue when nobody else in my family does? Well, when was the last time you dealt with your depression? When was the last time you dealt with your stress? And if you, I never have. I just keep it to myself. Well, look what's happening.
Yeah. And when we keep all of those things in the dark, right, we can't change anything. I think that's where a lot of the shame lies, is keeping it to ourselves and keeping it in the dark instead of letting it into the light. You know, when we have the light, that's the disinfectant, right?
Yep.
That's where the healing begins. It's kind
exactly.
of like having a kind of like having a fire in the basement of your house, right? And the whole house is filled with smoke, and you don't really know where the smoke is coming from, and you can't really change anything or clear the smoke out until you've dealt with the fire that's in the basement.
Right. And I found that a lot of people that have fibromyalgia have trauma and have anxiety, and some have depression. So, you know, yeah, this is how the body's reacting. High blood pressure is another one. Heart issues, gastro issues. These are all ways the body combats, you know, what's going on in our brain.
So this platform is completely online, mm-hmm. and is practicing online with a teacher, especially when it comes to the overall topic of mental wellness. Is it just as beneficial to attend an online class as it would be to attend one in person?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was a college professor for 13 years, and doing my bachelor's and my master's and being a college professor, I did it all online, and I loved it. And the reason why I loved it, you know, people think, well, you know, doing a class online, you don't get to know people. Well, no, that's not true. You do get to know people. You get to see this, you know, a lot of times in these classes, you'll see the same faces over and over again. And you form a friendship, even though it's online. I've done so many teacher trainings online in the past 2 years that I've actually formed many great friendships with people I've never met. And you can do that. You can form friendships. You can create bonds. You know, our teachers have been trained, you know, that online to create that sense of community. And even you might not see the person that's beside you on the screen. You know, they might have their video blacked out, and that's okay. But just knowing that you're in a room full of people that have the same issues as you do, there is something comforting about that.
I think there's actually an added layer of comfort too, especially for me as a highly sensitive person, and probably a lot of people that are listening to, there's a sense of comfort and safety to be able to have access to things like this when we are at home in our pajamas, you know, with our dog or our cat or our bird or whoever, you know, right there with us as we're going through this. I think there's a lot of comfort to that.
Oh yeah, because when you're in a familiar surroundings like your home, it feels good. And especially people that have anxiety or trauma, going into a new situation can really shake them. And it can really be scary for them. So having the online platform is welcoming. And we're all trained to work with you and understand you, because all of us have been through it too.
Can you give us some examples of the types of classes that are going to be offered on the platform?
Oh my goodness. We have classes for larger bodies. We have classes for African-American. We have LGBTQT plus classes. We have classes for highly sensitive people. We have classes for people that just have depression. We have classes for people that just have anxiety. We have really filled the whole line of so much that the more teachers we can get that are focusing on their specialty, the better we're going to be. I mean, we have one yoga teacher that just focuses on the LGBTQT plus community. How cool is that? You know, they're gay. They want to continue to serve their gay community. This is fabulous. This is what we need, because for someone that's heterosexual as myself to try to take care of the gay community is impossible, because I don't know what they're going through, but someone who is can.
Someone who has the same experience.
Yes. And it's so important for us as teachers to, understand the different cultures that are out there that we need to understand. Not everybody's going to think like me. Not everybody's going to think like you. But if we have the whole menagerie of every possible type of culture, every possible type of religion, it's only going to make us more and more beneficial for the people out there.
And it's just getting started.
Absolutely. It's just getting started.
So can you tell us, as we wrap up here, can you give us the website again? I'll include everything in the show notes, but just the website and when this all begins and people can start accessing these classes and finding out more information.
Sure. So you can go to the website again, www.mentalhealthyogaandwellness.com. That's our website address. If you have any problems with it, as Tanya said, she's going to be putting it in the notes so you can have it. Everything launches January 1st. So start looking now. It's just going to be absolutely remarkable.
It is. I agree.
There's free classes. There's donation-based classes. There's paid classes. There's so much out there, and I invite anybody to come check us out.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for being here with me today. I'm really excited and proud to be working on this with you, to be part of this project. And
thank
I just
you,
think
Tanya.
That you're a wonderful human being, an incredible yoga teacher, and I feel very lucky to have found you and that you're in my life.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. You're pretty much of a rock star yourself, girl.
Thank you. That's very kind. Yoga has so many benefits for our mental and physical health, and it has so much more to offer than the physical practices or asanas that most of us in the West think of when we hear the word yoga. If you're looking for practices tailored specifically to high sensitivity, I'll be teaching classes starting in January, beginning with Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra is a type of meditation. It's not an asana or a physical practice. Yoga Nidra is practiced lying down, and it guides you through layers of your physical and emotional bodies. It's my favorite practice as an HSP because it cultivates conscious relaxation while easing overwhelm, stress, and anxiety. If you're curious and are interested in learning more about my classes or any of the classes offered by Cindy or other wonderful teachers on this platform, you'll find all the details in the show notes. If you enjoy the Highly Sensitive Healing podcast, please leave a review and share it with others. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the good stuff, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for spending time with me here on the Highly Sensitive Healing podcast. New episodes are released Wednesdays, and please feel free to reach out with any questions or comments. And never forget, we were given this highly sensitive life because we're strong enough to live it.